So, here we go. All right, we are resuming now. The most exciting part of the Board of Public Works agenda. That would be the part that starts at 12:10. So
good afternoon.
University System of Maryland.
Good afternoon, Governor, Mr. Comptroller, Madam Treasurer. I'm Jim Sterling for the University System. We have a lot of items on today's agenda. And I just wanted to let you know that I observed with the procurement advisor over here that we may need to change the rotation of agencies because it's really affecting my self-esteem. But everybody gets up and walks out when I step up.
That's okay.
Any questions?
Nope.
Comptroller moves approval.
Thank you.
Seconded by the treasurer.
Nothing personal.
All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye.
Good job.
Thank you.
All right. We now... move on to the Department of Information Technology. Secretary Schlanger, you're back.
I'm back to help out.
Now, which would you rather be right now? The acting secretary of DOIT or in charge of the implementation of the Maryland Health
Care? I'd rather be at Disney World. Good afternoon, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, Elliot Schlanger, representing the Department of Information Technology. This afternoon, we have six items on our agenda. We would like to withdraw item 6IT. Be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Yes, sir.
Comptroller. Thank you. I have a question on item 7, but before I ask the acting director a couple of questions. I would like to just introduce David Hildebrand, who's my new acting director of IT in the comptroller's office, and Susan Phillips, who is the new acting director of budget. If they could both stand up, they're great public servants, and I am delighted they're going to be starting those responsibilities. Thank you. Secretary Schlanger, according to my materials, we're about, with item 7, to invest $104.5 million in a contract to overhaul essentially the entire statewide personnel management infrastructure through the procurement of a new state-of-the-art technology platform. And I'm wondering if, is it you or is it Secretary Fitzgerald who could possibly tell us about the inadequacies of the current system?
Sure. So I'd be happy to do that, Mr. Comptroller. I would like to say that this is potentially $104 million that will be awarded to the Oakland Group, which is a local MBE, and it is, in fact, to replace our antique personnel system. And I just need to point out that the roots of this system go back to 1975. That was 6 years before the PC was even invented. And actually, when we talk about the current system, there is it's a mainframe piece, and there is a lot of homegrown agency access and databases, say spreadsheets, post-it notes, paper files. So over 40 years or so, our system has really become very ineffective and convoluted. But the biggest issue that we have today, the system that we have, will fail. And it will fail soon because old guys like us who know something about it, we're going to be gone. And there'll be no one left to backfill behind it. So the time is now. We need to replace the system.
And that's not too many people use COBOL anymore, huh?
It's very tough to find COBOL programmers, sir.
Okay, so I'm struggling a little bit with it. Obviously, I'm pleased that you're proactively moving and to improve the state's position, and obviously that this is to a certified MBE firm, Kirkland?
Correct.
Where Mr. Jolivet went, but that's a... But I'm a little concerned about how we arrived at the point. I understand there were six proposals that... responded to the RFP, and five were deemed, quote, not reasonably susceptible of being selected for award. So in essence, we're entering into a $104.5 million 15-year deal, including two option periods with a single bidder. And if I could hear from you, Mr. Schlanger, or the Secretary of the Department about the decision to disqualify five of the six vendors.
Sure.
Is that something we should have looked at starting over or issuing a new RFP and trying to get them at least some competition.
Right. So when we started out, because, as you know, we are looking to procure a cloud-based multi-tenant software as a service product, by definition, we're really out there in the front of the pack. We're not the first, but we're definitely innovative here. And the purpose of having to pick that approach is as opposed to the traditional hire contractor to develop a one-off for the state of Maryland and build a big infrastructure that, in fact, we take on and have to support ourselves. We wanted to look at a product that exists, we can see in operation in many other instances, and just be tasked with configuring that product that is shared with many for the requirements of the state of Maryland. So before we began, we went to the Gartner Group, who is the premier consulting firm in our field. And we said, before we go down this route, do you think it is a feasible approach? And how many software service providers can we anticipate to bid? And their educated guess when we started the process a couple of years back was three. We put the RFP out, and as you know, we got six offers. Four were not found technically susceptible. In two cases, there were two firms that offered incomplete bids. And we tried to reconcile. As a matter of fact, you may say that each had half of the requirements. And in attempt to help them, we said, look, why don't you two firms form a partnership and come forward? Because we think you have something there. And they refused to do that for the reasons I can't explain. In another two cases, the offerers did not provide the specific product that we sought, which was a multi-tenant software-as-a-service product. We're interested only in an existing product that is shared by many, and we have no desire to build a custom one offer ourselves. They could not meet that requirement. There were two firms that were actually found susceptible, and in one case, that firm could not come to basic fundamental terms that the state had imposed. And so, hence, we started with six. We were left with one.
Okay. So all I have in front of me is a $104.5 million cost. The question I have is there any idea as to whether that is a good deal for the state, given the lack of being able to contrast that with something else?
Right. So the data point which I can provide is that since firm number five was technically susceptible, we did open their price proposal. Mm-hmm. And the difference between firm five and six, the recommendation was under, I'd say, 3%. So we had a data point, and it gave us the confidence that this was not a case where we were overpaying for what we think is the right system for the state of Maryland.
Okay. And I obviously support the award to an MBE company in Maryland. That is fabulous. But I'm concerned that we're entering into this technology contract with a 15-year time horizon, and that's just almost an eternity in technology, as far as I can tell. So what are we doing to make sure that, shouldn't we be doing these in five-year chunks so that we're not locked in?
So in actuality, we are going to issue a five-year contract with two five-year options. So we always have, let's say, the gates that we need to go through in order to continue. But one of the reasons that we chose doing this, cloud-based, is we are going to be sharing a system with companies like Johnson & Johnson, Hewlett-Packard, State of Nebraska, Nissan, Sony. And so what happens is there's a lot of pressure on the provider to constantly update and upgrade according to the technology as it happens to change. Similarly, if in fact the vendor creates an issue, there's a lot of pressure from all of the customers on the provider to fix whatever that issue is. And as you know, the feds have a cloud-first approach, and we think that is the way to go today. We don't want to wait, and we're pretty satisfied that the nature of this contract will keep us ahead of the curve with respect to changes in IT.
Okay. And finally, the briefing material says that, the contract's costs are reimbursable.
Right.
What does that actually mean?
So what I understand is that DBM will allocate the cost of the system to the agencies who participate. So I think that's the simple explanation of that.
Okay, thank you, Governor.
Thank you.
Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Mr. Control.
Okay, we now go to Treasurer moves approval of Department of Information Technology, seconded by the Controller. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. We move on now to the Department of Transportation.
Good afternoon, Governor, Madam Treasurer, and Mr. Comptroller. For the record, Jim Smith, Secretary for MDOT. MDOT is presenting 22 items as item number 18GM has been withdrawn. Be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions?
No? Happy to move approval.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Item 22 is a street sweeping contract, and it was awarded to J&M Sweeping LLC out of Middle River, Maryland. There was a protest filed by H.D. Miles. The basis of the protest, as I understand it, was that there was untruthfulness on the answering of the question with regard to whether there was any judgment against the contractor. The answer provided was no, and it turns out that there in a domestic case, one of the owners of the business had a judgment in connection with a custody dispute between the mother and the divorced father, but that wasn't had anything to do with the company, and it wasn't a company judgment, and so we are bringing that before you so that we can move forward with this contract. As far as item number 22, you want to just...
Would you like to hear from Mr. Lesnowski?
Sure.
Mr. Lesnowski, are you here? Okay. But also, in addition, I forget who opposes it, he is from the bidder who did not win the contract. I do believe that the bidder who won the contract is here and can respond as well.
Good morning, members of the board. Thank you for the opportunity to speak before you today. My name is Michael Lesnowski, and I'm the president of H.D. Miles, Incorporated. We're located in Churchill, Maryland. It's on the Eastern Shore. More than 3 years ago, our company was formed, and we've been a proud partner with the state of Maryland since. We've worked on multiple contracts with state highway administration. We provide snow removal, street sweeping, maintenance, and operational services across the state. I'm here today to object to the award of the contract before you to J&M Sweeping, LLC. As part of our procurement for this Carroll County street sweeping contract, J&M was asked to complete an equipment experience form. The form asked a straightforward question. The question read, are there any judgments, claims, arbitration proceedings, or suits pending or outstanding against your organization or its officers? SHA requested this information to help determine whether J&M was a responsible bidder. The question was clear. J&M answered no. Its answer was notarized and signed by an owner-operator of J&M with a sworn representation and certification that its answer was true and correct. Here's the problem. J&M's response was false. At the time J&M submitted its form, there were outstanding judgments against two owner-operators at J&M. The judgments stemmed from a case in Anne Arundel County Circuit Court where the two owners had been found liable for jury for civil fraud. In addition, at the time J&M submitted its answer, the two owner-operators of J&M had filed for bankruptcy, and their cases were before bankruptcy court. SHA asked J&M to complete that form for a reason. It looked to assess J&M's integrity. J&M's incorrect response should have raised a red flag. Despite providing the false information, SHA has elected to proceed with the award of the contract to J&M. SHA now suggests it was not interested in domestic matters or personal civil matters related to J&M's owners. If it did not mean to ask for certain information, then SHA should have adjusted the form to indicate that, but it did not. H.D. Miles is sensitive to this issue, as you know, and it's not just because we are second low bidder. 3 years ago, my company was selected for a contract award by SHA to operate and manage the I-95 Welcome Centers in Howard County. At the time we submitted our bid for that contract, H.D. Miles had not yet incorporated. Based on our communication with SHA, we were told this would not be a problem as long as we were incorporated before award. However, when that contract award came before this board in September and October of 2010, you expressed serious reservations. You pointed to an affidavit that we submitted. There was concern that we presented false information. As a result of this board's reservations, the contract was ultimately withdrawn by MDOT. The primary purpose of the state's procurement law is to ensure fair treatment to the businesses that compete for state contracts. We're not asking for special favors. We just want consistency and to be treated fairly. We believe it would be unfair to approve J&M's contracts today in light of precedent that was set 3 years ago. Again, I ask that you not approve the J&M contract. Thank you for your opportunity to speak. Appreciate your consideration.
Thank you. Okay.
As the owner approaches, I will also say that the protest was filed and the Board of Contracts Appeals has denied the protest. So it's been through that process.
Also, I would like to introduce Mr. Chris Ryan, who is our company counsel as well.
Great. I just want to say I'm here to the extent there are some legal issues that arise concerning the Board of Contract Appeals decision or concerning a Board of Contract Appeals precedent. I'm here to address those on behalf of my client. Thank you.
So do you have State Highways attorney here, or is your response from State Highways? Okay, well, maybe you want to hear from State Highway, and then the owner, the contractor could come up, but probably State Highway needs to respond to the selection.
Madam President, Mr. Governor, Mr. Comptroller, happy holidays. My name is Scott Morrell. I'm an Assistant Attorney General. I represent the Maryland State Highway Administration. I won't be long, but at the heart of this matter is SHA's determination that J&M LLC, J&M Sweeping LLC, certified my MVE, was a responsible bidder for this sweeping and cleaning contract in Carroll County. Just wanted to do that decision. Let me back up. The 2010 that Mr. Lusinowski talked about, there are some distinctions that I believe are important here. The form that Mr. Lusinowski described earlier was a form which is called a bid affidavit. And part of what Mr. Lusinowski wrote on that form was that H.D. Miles, Inc., was registered to do business in the state of Maryland, that it had a resident agent, and provided a name for that resident agent. The form that at the heart of the protest for J&M Sweeping, it's called an experience and equipment certification. And what that form is, after bid opening, and we've determined who the apparent low bidder is, a letter goes out and it says fill out your experience and equipment certification. It provides a myriad of different information, the officers of the company, the equipment that they have, and there are some questions associated with it. Just very briefly, there's four questions that were at the heart of this. Has your organization ever failed to complete any work awarded to it? The answer was no. The question that the issue at heart of the issue in the protest was, are there any judgments, claims, arbitration proceedings, or suits pending or outstanding against your organization or its officers? J&M answered no. The next question, has your organization filed any lawsuits or requested arbitration with regards to construction contracts within the last 5 years? Again, no. Has your organization ever had a state contract that was terminated? Again, the answer was no. Another distinct difference of what we had in 2010 and what we have here is a bid protest was filed by H.D. Miles, indicating that answer to question no, SHA should deem J&M Sweeping to be a non-responsible bidder. That experience and equipment certification, it's a tool for SHA. SHA can go into further inquiries regarding equipment, can go into further inquiries regarding these questions. Again, it's just sort of a tool in the toolbox to determine whether they have the capability of performing the contract and the integrity and the reliability that will assure good faith performance of the contract. SHA's procurement officer reviewed all the material provided in the bid protest. He determined to deny the protest. That's different than what we had previously. That decision then was appealed to the Board of Contract Appeals, which wasn't done, obviously, previously. The Board of Contract Appeals, both sides filed briefs on the matter. There was a hearing where live testimony was taken. There was post-hearing briefs filed by both parties. At the end of all that review, the Board of Contract Appeals upheld the procurement officer's final decision. One of the rationales for doing it is, and I quote from that decision, the procurement officer made a reasonable determination that question 4.2.2 of the E&E statement, that's the experience and equipment certification, does not require bidders to list all personal civil judgments that officers of organizations have against them. So what we have here is an administrative process that wasn't, that didn't occur in 2010, and the Board of Contract Appeals upheld the State Highway's determination that J&M Sweeping can perform this cleaning and sweeping contract in Carroll County. Thank you.
So,
yes.
But having been here for the
process with H.D. Miles.
Yes.
I don't know whether there's a legal doctrine, sauce for the goose and sauce for the gander. But that question seems pretty specific. Are there any court actions against your organization or its officers? And they said no, and there are.
Well,
so, I mean, I appreciate the Board of Contract Appeals, but...
I understand, but I think along with that, there's an aspect of... Ms. Kestner was involved in a personal matter that was not her as an officer of the company. You can be sued as an officer of a particular entity as that officer. Excuse me. In this case, that's not the situation. So I believe when Ms. Kestner was notified of this, she said, well, based on the other four questions and the question regarding as an officer of the entity, I answered no to that question, believing that I answered the question correctly. I'm not so sure that Mr. Luzinowski could say the same thing in regards to are you certified to work in by the State Department of Assessment and Taxation and have a resident agent. That's simply, I think there is a distinction, sir.
I can understand the distinction, but on the merits, as I recall, you guys were up here saying that the H.D. Miles situation a few years ago was not a problem and could be resolved by filing before the contract, et cetera, et cetera. It was pretty harsh, I thought, for me and others to say, hey, go back and redo it. And now I'm just saying I don't see any real intellectual difference between what we clobbered H.D. Miles on a number of years ago, and now we're supposedly going to approve in this instance. So
I understand the concern, but at least from the previous matter, this has gone through an administrative process, and at the end of that, the Board of Contract Appeals upheld State Highway's determination that they were responsible bidder. And H.D. Miles at that point could have chosen to appeal that to a circuit court also. They decided not to do so.
I think they have a valid point. So, but go ahead. Does someone want to say something?
No.
Thank you, Mr. Comptroller. I would just like to respond to a couple points. 3 years ago, there actually was an appeal at the Board of Contract Appeals by the second low bidder, and the appeal was denied by the Maryland State Board of Contract Appeals. The other thing I would like to point out is that 3 years ago, I wasn't here for the live testimony, but I read the transcript. There was testimony from the Attorney General's office and also board counsel that focused on board case law that suggested that affidavits could be corrected post-bid submission prior to award. This board took that information into account, and yet it still did not approve the contract. Here we have a situation where not only was an incorrect answer submitted, but the underlying litigation is also troubling. We have a situation where the low bidder, or officers of the low bidder, both officers, were found liable for civil fraud based on clear and convincing evidence. This was evidence that a jury considered. Both of the officers were also in bankruptcy at the time. And this is troubling. And I'm assuming one of the reasons why State Highway asked these questions is because the answer to this question impacts responsibility. Responsibility has two components. There's the integrity component and the capability. And when you're in bankruptcy, when there are $350,000 judgments that were in place at the time of bid submission, that could affect the ability to do the work. So under Maryland's procurement law, in particular under the regulations that have been adopted by this board, you're not bound by the Board of Contract Appeals. Frankly, the board is very deferential to agencies. It is constantly said it's the agency that has to live with its decision. What we're asking for today is consistency from this board. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else want to be heard on this matter?
Yes, sir.
Come on down.
Good afternoon, Mr. Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, ladies and gentlemen. I am Matthew Bernhardt on behalf of J&M Sweeping, my client, Ms. Julie Kester. We've recommended the Board of Public Works accepts the recommendation of the State Highway Administration, upholds the decision of the Board of Contract Appeals, and awards a sweeping contract to J&M. J&M, a minority business enterprise, has extensive experience in sweeping and has the manpower and equipment to successfully deliver under the terms of this contract. Mr. Kestner has over 35 years of experience, while Ms. Kestner has over 13 years. At present time, they have over 16 street sweeping machines. Most unfortunately, HD Miles has taken every possible action to delay the awarding of this contract due to a prior situation that directly involved HD Miles, as you've heard today. This situation was related to whether HD Miles was a corporation at the time they submitted this bid. Our situation, conversely, involves a personal situation related directly to Ms. Kestner, her now husband, and her current ex-husband. This has no bearing on J&M Sweeping, which is a separate legal entity. The prior money judgment, which was so eloquently stated at $350,000, has been completely vacated. Today, that judgment is at $0. Despite Mr. Lesnowski's statement that we are not asking for any special favors, that is exactly what they're here today doing. Unfortunately, they were the second low bidder on this contract, and the contract, as I would say, was correctly awarded to J&M Sweeping, whose bid was at $417,000. J&M went to great lengths to ensure that they adequately responded to the allegations submitted by HD Miles in its initial bid protest. They have been forthcoming with documents and testimony to ensure that the State Highway Administration would make an informed decision based on all relevant information in awarding this contract. After a complete and full review of all evidence presented by all parties, the State Highway Administration has recommended that this contract be awarded to J&M Sweeping. The Board of Contract Appeals feels the same. All that I ask is that we follow the recommendation and the decision of the Board of Contract Appeals and award this contract to J&M Sweeping. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay. Any other questions on Department of Transportation agenda?
Well, there is another item. Okay. The actual official protest, they
wanted
to be awarded in the face of the official protest.
Let me ask why you're here. There was some other issue other than the judgment that was brought up by HD Miles.
Yes, sir.
Does that have any
What issue is that exactly?
They said there were judgments for some kind of fraud or something.
It's a custody dispute between Ms. Kessner and her ex-husband involving their daughter, who is now married, and it involved that situation. Her ex-husband alleged that there was some fraud by my clients. That money judgment, sir, has been completely wiped out. We have a new trial. That's when my firm came in after that.
So,
okay. I would say that has no bearing on this. As I stated before, J&M Sweeping is a separate legal entity.
And yeah, but it's how many people are employed?
How many employees do you get?
Between 30 and 35.
And and you're the sole owner?
I am. My husband works with me, but I'm the sole owner.
Talk about your experience in previous contracts. I'm at the State Highway Administration.
Well, I do a lot of work as a sub since May of 2000. That's when we began working under large prime contractors doing the milling and paving process. But we started bidding, I think it was like 6 years ago, on the municipal cleanups. And I had a contract. I did the Baltimore County cleanup. Dayton and Carroll and Frederick. I've always received A's on my performance. We worked well with the shop managers and really enjoy doing the sweeping with the state of Maryland. And I haven't had any problems, and they've never had any problems with us.
Thank you.
And I also wanted to apologize. I believe that I answered the question as it was asked. I thought it was asking if I had a judgment against me as an officer or towards my corporation. And when I saw the protest, I immediately called State Highway and apologized if I had misinterpreted it and explained, you know, that I had answered it as an officer, not as me personally, because it didn't say personally. So that was my misunderstanding.
Okay. I'm confused myself as to whether it's corporate or personal, but anyway, thank you for that.
Thank you.
Someone else? Sure you want to be heard again?
Just wanted to make one clarification. With the judgments weren't wiped out. A new trial was ordered on the issue of damages, not liability. So the liability against the officers for civil fraud and fraud and fraudulent concealment are still in the books. There's going to be a new trial on damages, and the court specifically said that punitive damages are on the table. The other thing is just to clarify, for this contract, J&M is the prime. It's not a minority business enterprise. Thank you.
And just one final rebuttal. That underlying dispute involved our client signing for her daughter to become married. Civil fraud sounds a lot more intimidation, but it's an intentional tort, negligence action. She signed for her daughter to get married, and the current money judgment, as I stated, is $0. Thank you.
Okay, anything else? What's the other matter that's up here?
Item 23, which the case would like to subject matter of that one.
Right, the subject matter of this one is it's the phase four of a replacement and installation of a closed circuit TV system at 18 stations throughout the MTA locations. That are going to provide surveillance of Amtrak, CSX, and MTA Transit properties. A protest has been filed, and the basis of the protest is that the winning bidder does not have a security system license. Now, the three issues with respect to that are, number one, We have a dispute as to whether the state is a person, and we'd say the state is not a person, therefore it was not subject to that provision. It was only applicable for residential and commercial enterprises, and government is not residential and is not commercial, so that the license was not required. We also... there's a problem that this was not raised prior to the bid opening as required. And of course, our contention is that in phases 1, 2, 3, and 4, we had no such requirement that there be a security system license. The urgency with respect to this is 100% funded by Homeland Security funds. It's $14 million. It expires on May 31st of 2014. We have to have contracts in place by then to lock in the funding. And if this gets postponed, we won't be able to meet those deadlines. That's the reason we're bringing it forward, even though the protest has been filed and the protest has not yet been resolved. I can have Heidi answer any further questions you may have, but that's where we are, I believe. Did I misstate anything, Heidi? Okay.
Then we have the Aquaror, who came in second, G4S Technology, is here represented by Joseph Kobosh from the firm of Ober Kaler.
Good afternoon, Mr. Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. Happy holidays. Thank you for your patience for being here. It's been a long morning. We're into the afternoon. I'm going to try to address the issues briefly. With me today is Keith Jernigan. He's the Director of Business Development for G4S. He's in the buoy office of the company, and he's the person who was in charge of the procurement from the offeror's side. This proposed procurement, in our view, does not reflect well on the state, the integrity of the procurement system, or this distinguished board. There were several serious irregularities. The license is the last of a long list of irregularities, but there were several irregularities with this procurement which were all serious and have been, in our view, ignored by MPA in the rush to get the federal funding. The first serious problem was that G4S was told several times that its technical proposal was ranked significantly higher than that of CSI. This was a competitive negotiated procurement. The request for proposals, the RFP, said that technical was to be given more weight than price, and they were ranked first. My client was ranked first. The original procurement officer told G4S that they were ranked first. The bid protest decision that was issued by the agency said that G4S was ranked very good, and Critical Solutions, who's the company that they would like to give the award to, was only ranked acceptable, and Kratos, the third bidder, was also ranked acceptable. The first submission of the item to the Board of Public Works had this same language in it that said that this was the ranking of the bidders. And then yesterday or late the day before, it was changed to say that all three bidders were ranked the same. Now, I don't know what your experience is, but my experience in the procurement business since I've been doing it for about 35 years is no three bidders have ever been ranked the same in a technical evaluation. It's like hitting the lotto. It's the odds are not very good that happens. The second problem is that...
Speaking of lotto, I did not win.
And I'm sure. I'm surprised. Yeah. The second problem was that after the first round with the prices, CSI, the company that they'd like to give the award to, was actually the highest of the three bidders. He had submitted the highest price, and they decided to go to a best and final round, and prices were submitted, and miraculously, they were now the lowest. Now, it's possible that that could happen, but our belief, and we have heard this from a couple of sources, was that CSI was several million dollars high in the first round, and that somehow they have miraculously dropped their price several million dollars to become the low bidder. We believe that this can only happen if there was a transfer of information, if somehow they got inside information as to what was the price that they needed to be. And we have theories that we're chasing, and we intend to resolve that issue at the Board of Contract Appeals where this case is pending. So that's the second problem with this. The third problem is that we have repeatedly asked the agency to produce documents that would show what were the, in fact, the rankings, what was the technical evaluation, provide some information that would help clear up these questions, these clouds, the odor that's coming off of this procurement. And they have stonewalled us. We asked them at the debriefing, which was approximately 5 weeks ago, and we followed it up with a public information request. And to this day, we've not received one document from the agency. So, you know, there's a problem here that we think is not being addressed, and they would just like to have it go under the rug and say that, well, we've got the federal funds, we need to get the award. Let's not really pay attention to these problems. The fourth problem was that the evaluation committee for MTA was made up of only three people, which is okay, except that one of the people on the committee was a supervisor, another person was a subordinate, so that instead of getting independent advice from this evaluation committee, they had a committee structure set up so that it was really locked in as a 2-to-1 vote going into the committee. There is, I understand, MTA policies or regulations that prohibits them doing that, and yet they have this committee set up that way. Now, all of those problems aside, we come to the issue of the license. The license problem, there is a Maryland statute that's in the Maryland Business Occupations article, and it's section 18501 that says that before a company may engage, attempt to engage, offer to engage, or solicit to engage in the business of security systems installation, they have to be licensed. And that's section 18501. This case has already been litigated. In 2003, there was a decision at the Board of Contract Appeals that the sister agency of MTA, the Ports People, had a security system contractor, and they disqualified them because they weren't licensed under the same statute that this agency now is saying only applies to commercial, residential, doesn't really apply to the state. Well, in that case, the Department of Transportation's Port Authority took the position that that statute does apply to them. And in a decision that was written by Chairman Harrison, Bob Harrison, who, as you recall, was the general counsel for the MDOT before he became the chair of the Board of Contract Appeals, he wrote that that's a violation of that statute. They have to be licensed. And the failure to be licensed means that their bid is void. It's an illegal contract to make an award to a company that doesn't have that license. So we think that as a matter, and the Mr. Harrison says in the decision, as a matter of law, they were not capable of receiving the award. These issues are pending in front of the board now in our protest. They should be resolved in the typical way that these cases get resolved after an evidentiary hearing, after legal arguments are made. There is really no good reason why we should rush to give the project to this particular company, particularly since they don't have, as I understand it, they don't have experience in installing these kinds of systems at transit stations. And that's what this is about. This is phase four of a four-phase contract to install these security systems. These are surveillance cameras that are tied into the state, the MTA's police monitoring facility where they watch them on a 24/7 basis. There's also feeds to the state police for the light rail. The Baltimore City Police for the light rail systems. This is clearly a security system that's of great importance. This is goal number 12 in the governor's Homeland Security program.
You read them.
And they're all very good. And we take them very seriously. And it's very important that we get the right company to do the work to make sure that those goals are carried out properly. And so we believe that this board has the option of doing the right thing here. And that is, if they are very concerned about the federal funds, they should make the award to my client, who submitted the bid by the responsible bidder, who is licensed, and actually had a price that's still within the grant. This grant is 100% federally funded. The money could still be used for this purpose. They could make the award to my client and comply with all the grant guidelines. So there is an option. It won't be like the funds are lost if the board decides not to make the award to CSI. It's not an either or. There is a third option. So with that, we ask the board to do the right thing, and we believe the right thing here is not to make the award to CSI. And if I could, I'd just like to have my client representative make a few comments here about his company.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, for the reasons that Joe just specified, you know, we do feel very strongly that we're the right choice, both legally and professionally. I won't regurgitate our history, our past performance. That was all spelled out very clearly in our proposal. And as Joe mentioned, we were graded the highest relative to that work experience and that technical competency. But there were three points that I did want to bring out. Number one, our relevant experience. Our relevant experience is tied to us as a prime contractor, not the hired subs that we have to do the work. Of course, as a prime, you always have to hire subs to complete your work competency, but we brought to the table the experience relative to performing this job at a high level, the Amtrak experience that we did, and the tie-ins and coordination that's required to work with multiple government entities in the state of Maryland with a contract like this. We bring that experience to the table. Also, the work we did with the Baltimore, Maryland Port Authority, also brings that experience to the table as well. The second item I wanted to bring up was that we feel very strongly that the lack of experience that CSI brings to this is of extreme risk to the state of Maryland. They do not have the relative work experience and rail experience that's required to this. And we've brought that experience in Amtrak and Maryland Port Authority in terms of helping them meet their project deadlines as well as their funding deadlines as well. And the third point I wanted to bring up is that we're invested in Maryland. We're you know, while we are a global company, we have over 600 employed workers here in the state of Maryland. So we're not, you know, from Texas, which CSI is based in Texas, and that's where their employees are. We have 600 employees that are in the state of Maryland, so we're invested in the state. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? Jim, do you have confidence that these guys that got the bid or license and all?
I'm confident that they don't have to have that license, but I'll call on Byron Smith from the Attorney General's office to respond.
Good afternoon, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. I'm Byron Smith, Chief Counsel for the Maryland Transit Administration. On the issue of the license, they mentioned the statutes under the business and professional article. Everybody seems to gloss over a very important provision in that statute. And that provision basically states that it defines security system services. It's in the definition section 18101F, providing security system services. It's defined as providing security system services means providing on the premises of a person's residential or commercial property the service of, and it lists three items: surveying the property for purpose of installing a security system, physically installing, maintaining, or repairing a security system for a customer, or responding to a distress call or an alarm sounding from a security system. It's been well-settled law in Maryland since, I think, 1870, that unless The state is defining the statute as a person. When the term person is used in the statute, it does not refer to the state of Maryland. So we are aware of the decision they made reference to, the MACO case, dealing with the Maryland Port Administration. That contract dealt with installing card readers on doors there. This system is a closed-circuit television system. It's not tied into where some police emergency sounds going to go off and police is going to dash in. What this system does is monitors the railways and transitways in Maryland. This is phase four of a multi-phase project. I'd like to point out to you that during this whole process, we've been coming down to this board on several occasions bringing bits and pieces of real estate dealing with Amtrak, CSS. That was to give us access and rights to the property, which then brings us directly under the statute. Since about the inception of the MARC service, which ironically I represent, we've had these easement agreements and leases with Amtrak and CSX, which allows us on the right-of-way. I won't go into details of security assessments and why this is necessary to put 24/7 surveillance out there, but it is necessary. So when this contract was put out, there was not a requirement for a alarm system, security system, company to do it. I don't have the RFP in front of me, but it's about half the size of what's sitting in front of Mr. Klassmeyer. It's basically a construction project. We also checked with the Maryland State Police to find out whether a closed-circuit TV system was required to be licensed, and someone had to have a license to install it. They informed us that they did not. So we recognize the MACO decision, but we submit the MACO decision is not appropriate and not controlling here. The other aspects that he's raised about the experience of CSI has in its group many of the subs who did phase one, two, and three. And the biggest one was Aurelia. It's a software package, but Aurelia is also an engineering system integration firm also. So they brought to the table the people who put in phase one, phase two, and phase three. And interesting enough, I'll point out to this, during the pre-bid conference, a question was asked, can we go talk to the people who installed phase one, two, and three? And the procurement officer at the time said, yes, you're free to go do that. In fact, since the system, those phase one, two, and three have been completed, and the procurements on those closed, they could have sent a public information act request to see what those documents were, see what the details of the system. And one final point that I make about MTA stalwalling about the MPIA, I refer about it to the statute. Since no contract has been awarded, this was an RFP, the statute precludes us providing the information that they want at this point in time. And they were told that. So we asked you to award this contract. The MTA has confirmed with Homeland Security that they will, in fact, lose this grant money if the contract's not awarded. And there's a May 31st, 2014 deadline in completing this network for the system. So we asked you to award the contract. Those matters in the Board of Contract Appeal would be played out in the Board of Contract Appeal, but there's no basis for not awarding this contract today. We asked you to award it.
Thank you. Anything else you want to say? Rebuttal?
Thank you, Mr. Governor. Just very briefly, it's the Waycor case, not MACO, but the Waycor case was, in fact, the agency, the MPA, took the position opposite of what they're taking here. The agency, the MDOT agency, took an opposite position that statute did apply in that case, and it's the exact same kind of process. You have to have the license in order to do the work. They didn't have the license, and it may be because they're a Texas company they weren't aware. the issue in the Waycor case was raised, just as it is here, that the RFP didn't have a specific requirement for the license, but there are general requirements that you will comply with all Maryland laws and licenses and so forth and so on, and the Board of Contract Appeals there said that that was sufficient to put the bidders on notice. They had to get that kind of a license. That was their business that they're in. They need to know that. And if Mr. Jernigan could address the issue about whether or not this is, in fact, a security system.
Right. Well, the other point I wanted to bring up, too, is there was mention of their prime contractor, their prime subcontractor being Aurelia. Well, Aurelia was called out as a spec'd item, so all participants had to have Aurelia on their team. We had them on our team as well. The question really is experience beyond that, right? So what experience did they bring as a prime contractor? And we contend they pose a serious risk to the state of Maryland because they lack that experience. And the other component is we recognize and we're sensitive to the fact that there is a timing issue relative to funding. We stand ready to participate if you choose to move forward with our protest. Coming in second, we could step in and transition that right away. As I mentioned before, we have a pretty heavy team here, and we're ready and have the resources and financial wherewithal to take over the contract or move forward with the contract. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Sure.
I came from Korea in order to participate in this meeting, so I greatly missed the opportunity to rest or to speak.
Sure, come on up.
Thank you very much, Mr. Governor and Mr. Controller, and honorable members of Board of Public Works. I rushed and came to Maryland to participate in this meeting.
And you want to be heard on this item?
Excuse me? This is a great revelation that I would like to share with the members. My name is Samantha Chong. I'm here on behalf of Samsung Techwin. We are the security camera system manufacturer and solution provider, and we were interested in providing the product. We requested, according to the very original RFP, it was specified Sony camera or equivalent product. And approve. So we requested the approval process, how it should be done. At the time that we partnered with a different participant contractor. So overall, according to the, this is a federal grants money, according to the federal acquisition regulation FAR, subpart 9.0 and 9.3, that if there are the contracting officers shall test and approve the products that are available at other or less costly methods of ensuring the desired quality. So we simply ask for the camera approval process so we can equally compete against the Sony product. And at the time, we were given directions to bring the camera to go to London and have the driver made so we can our cameras be put up for the testing. So at that last minute notice, Samsung sent two representatives to London to Aurelia software company, made a driver that was sent back. We sent our cameras to MTA. I have 53 pages of email correspondence between the MTA contracting officer at the time and the later on officer stating that they have not only lost our cameras, the contracted agency of MTA, ACOM, the director and the technical engineer has said that they will not test and approve our cameras. I have all the email correspondence here. And according to the subpart 3.1 safeguards of the federal contract and grants money, it says, government business shall be conducted in a manner above reproach and except as authorized by statute or regulation with a complete impartiality and with a preferential treatment for none. Transactions relating to the expenditure of public funds require the highest degree of public trust and an impeccable standard of conduct. Mr. Governor, Samsung very much so want to be in state of Maryland, expand our business, and to promote not only economy, but also the overall security in the buildings, transit communities, and be a good, healthy business entity in your state here. But with, in terms of the FAR, Federal Acquisition Regulation, subpart 9, unhealthy, improper procurement process such as this, we were not even given an opportunity to properly test our product. So anybody, G4S, any participant could have used our highly performing product at last cost. We totally lost the opportunity. So this relates to the FAR regulation, the integrity of the federal government grants and the procurement. So this, I know that we want to seize that money, but with all due respect to Assistant General Attorney Mr. here, SAMHSA, at our own time and expense, we did a site visit on our own, and once with the MTA's a site visit, a protocol, and we took pictures and documented all the stations, the camera issues that we saw. We actually went into the light rail stations and looked at the images that captured in the monitor stations. We listened to employees working there who are very highly concerned with the security. The images of the captured images were at very poor quality. The cameras were not hung properly. The cameras were located in a place that's really not looking at the crime scene that has occurred previously. So overall, our assessment, and we put that in our technical proposal, that didn't see the light of the day. So right now, we have a great product, and we did not get opportunity. And I have over 50 pages of email stating, and one particular email from Ms. Janet Unger from AECOM has stated that, in very unprofessional using language and such, told us that, please do not bother us. And this is a contracted out agency for MTA. We consulted Mr. Curran's office, attorney office, and we would like to see how this federal granted money can be placed in the state of Maryland so we can have more access to further grants, because this is a very transit healthy, you know, we got red line and purple line going on. We would like to do more business, Mr. Governor, with your state here. We would like to be here, but we need your support. We would like to have the grants. Our product needs to be placed, but this is a bad example of procurement per MPA and AECOM, and I'm a little excited. Previous gentleman said that he was offended. I'm about to be, you know, offended myself here. But with your extension of the holiday spirit, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I had to come from Korea to speak at this podium, and I thank you for the time, but this is a serious matter, and it just professionalism is really, it's not the matter, but according to the FAR and email evidences, and it's just a huge loss to the state that our great product didn't even get a chance. I followed their protocol according to the RFP, how we should be tested. They lost our cameras. We have a receipt of the cameras that was delivered to MTA office, and the camera was missing. And they will not test our cameras. It's unheard of.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much.
Is there any motion to have these considered separately?
Okay. Yeah, no, but I share the concerns about procurement. I know the governor does, too. And there is a lot of attention to making sure that the state is got a equal playing field for everybody out there. So this equivalency is that's a very important federal priority in their procurement. And I guess, is there any response from MTA that explains what happened to Samsung's request for to be considered? Is it what? Where are the cameras?
The cameras were returned. I'm sorry. This is Heidi Tarleton with MTA. There were five cameras that were submitted to us for testing on phase three, and we have a FedEx receipt that we returned those five cameras.
Oh, okay, but why weren't they tested for equivalency and approved for the contract?
For phase four, they were a sub under a prime contractor that was deemed did not meet minimum qualifications, and they were the only prime contractor that submitted Samsung as their sub.
But still, shouldn't they have been tested and ruled equivalency, equivalent under the federal contract, a federal procurement law?
Well, basically, the federal acquisition regulations will not apply to this procurement. Even though it's a federal grant, we procure this under the state procurement regulations. There are a lot of instances where we get federal grant money, and in the master grant agreement, it tells you you will procure it under your own procurement regulations. And then when the feds will step in, if there's a determination that your own procurement regulations are insufficient or doesn't allow for a competitive process, then at the end of the deal, the feds could disallow the grant money. But as of today, I have no indication where the federal government in all the grants that I've been involved in 2005, where they have determined that the state's procurement regulations were insufficient as a matter of law.
Yeah, well, I'm letting you know that I think they're insufficient from a training, professionalism, centralization, business-friendly approach. And when you have a major corporation send someone all the way across the ocean and the continent to get here to register a complaint about the state of Maryland, I hope that you guys are going to stand up and pay attention, because it's not just the taxpayers are not getting the benefit of possibly a lower-priced product. It's also the businesses that believe they're not getting proper access to the state's procurements. And this is an issue that is alive and well. The governor's had a whole report done, and there's other aspects to this. But, boy, I would not stand back there and say, gee, you know, not our problem.
No, Mr. Controller, not related to the point. They say it wasn't our problem. The only thing I'm saying is they said they tested the cameras for Phase 3, found them insufficient. They came back with a sub and under Phase 4, and that sub was deemed non-responsive. So along with that, so whatever that sub, that whatever that contractor was offering, when they were deemed non-responsive, then whatever they were, that sub was seeking to provide to the MCA went away with that.
Okay, I'd like to ask the secretary if he would to look into the allegation.
I will.
Of the,
this is the first I've heard.
And something about the rudeness and
I understand.
And particularly whether the cameras were lost before they were sent back.
Will do. Absolutely.
All right. Comptroller moves approval of the Department of Transportation agenda item, seconded by the Treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you all for your patience. Very good. Thank you for the book again.